Muskegon. Welcome to The Credit Guy Show. I'm Dave Sullivan, a.k.a. The Credit Guy, and we will be helping you to transform your credit.
Now, here's your credit guy, Dave.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Credit Guy Show. So, we're looking forward to having an Ask The Credit Guy show today. And we've got some questions that have come in the past, but I really wanted to talk about and welcome and thank future Emmy Award-winning producer Lady J.
You are far too kind, Dave. Yeah. Far too kind.
So it's going to be 70 degrees today.
Yes.
But maybe rain.
Yes.
But it looks partly cloudy out there right now.
Yeah, it does.
So, go ahead.
Maybe we'll miss it, the maybe. Rain.
Hopefully. The lady who was the show right before ours is the
Cheryl Underwood show.
The Cheryl Underwood show. And she was talking about bankruptcy, and I wanted to touch a little bit on that. You know, bankruptcy is really kind of the last resort, should be the last resort for people who are trying to get back on their feet from a credit perspective. So, you know, what I would tell you is, you know, if you think that you're looking at bankruptcy, if you can't pay off your debt in 5 years, I mean, that's kind of the general terms on maybe considering that, because it's going to take you about 5 years after that to recover from a credit score perspective. I mean, you can get a very good credit score quickly after bankruptcy if you take a few steps, but, and maybe we'll do that in a future show. But what I wanted to tell you is if you are considering bankruptcy, you should probably talk to a bankruptcy attorney and, you know, figure out how much debt you owe and if you can get back on your feet. So, again, this is Dave Sullivan. We are live here at 103.7 The Beat. And if you want to call in, 231-722-8338, you can call in and we can answer your live question. But I am brought to you by First General Credit Union, the number one, my favorite credit union in Muskegon, and I'm very proud to be the vice president of marketing. We've got some very cool things coming up. I talked a little bit on Periscope, and we are on Periscope as well. If you want to chime in there and ask a question, we'll try to read them. But, you know, part of what I've done over the last 25 years was provide credit information to mortgage companies and banks. So loan officers would come to me and ask how to improve a credit score. So I learned a lot, and about 10 years ago, I started sharing that on YouTube, and that was going fine. But, you know, First General Credit Union was looking for a marketing director. So I applied and got the job, and now we are, you know, helping educate more and more people here in Muskegon and hopefully across Michigan. But one of the things that we are doing and that I'm very excited about is a career reality fair, a financial reality fair, we're doing at Western Michigan Christian High School for the 7th and 8th graders. And we are going to put them through, you know, a year in the life after they've graduated for whatever degree that they chose. So we're going to give them a credit score, a starting salary, debt, you know, student loan debt. We're going to give them, you know, that financial picture, and then they're going to make decisions on where they live. Do they live with mom and dad? Do they get their own apartment? Do they get a bus pass? Do they get a car? Do they get a used car? You know, what do they want from leisure? They go through that financial exercise, and then it gives them a much clearer picture of what their life is going to be like after they graduate. So it's very exciting. I'm proud to be part of it. It's brought to you by the Michigan Credit Union League, and the credit unions themselves pick up that torch and then try to teach people. So it really is something that I'm proud to be associated with, and First General Credit Union is associated with. We have two locations. Actually, the high school that we're doing it at is right next to our headquarters, so looking forward to that. Lady J, have you ever heard of a financial reality fair?
No, but it sounds very interesting, something I think I definitely would want my kids to get into when they get older, because I mean, in high school and as far as school curriculum now, they don't teach that type of stuff.
Yeah, you know, they really don't cover credit score. I mean, they might artificially kind of fluff over it, I think, is what we're getting now.
I remember back in my high school days, there was nothing about a credit score, finances, nothing.
Well, way back in the, you know, in the days when I was a kid, way, way back in the Stone Age, we didn't have anything. And I went and I graduated with a degree in finance from Western Michigan University, go Broncos. And, you know, I graduated with a finance degree and nobody talked about credit. I learned about credit from my dad, who was a bricklayer. Okay. Oh, wow. So he didn't have financial background, but he knew about credit and how important it was. And he actually put up some money in a CD to back my first loan that I ever had, which was for a Corvette, right? Which is a very important thing you need after college. You must have a Corvette.
You must have a Corvette. Yeah,
absolutely. And so I did. That was the first loan I ever had. And then, you know, I built my credit from there. But I've had a 30-day late on my mortgage, which is the worst thing you can do from a score perspective. And I was down in the low 600s, but I'm up at the high 800s. And part of the reason that I was able to recover is because so much time has gone by, right? So we were building our house. We were going from a temporary mortgage to a regular mortgage. And I missed a payment on that. My score went down over 100 points.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's just incredible.
It's like, horrible, right.
Things that happen so quickly, you would never know.
I mean, and I wasn't like 60 or 90 days out. I was like 32 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I back then, we had to, you know, put things in the mail in order to pay them. And then this guy would come to our house and then take it to the regular mail place. And then they take it. Yeah. I mean, this is way back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I just missed it by a few days. And I called and asked for, you know, forgiveness of the 30-day late. I had already paid off the mortgage. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. And, you know, everybody. So my point is everybody goes through that. It's not just, you know, just people who are low income. I mean, credit score is not dependent on your income at all. And I don't know if people realize that.
I'm not sure if they do either, but it still kind of has something to do with it because you have to have that money to at least get it down to 5 to 9%.
Well, true. But that's spending habits, right? So if you only make 20 grand a year and you have a credit card that you've maxed out, you're probably not living right. Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
How much can a credit score be affected? Like, say you have a 6-month credit card, now it's in effect. And you had a 32-day late payment and 100 points was taken off your score.
Yeah.
And then you actually paid the 5 to 9% on your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
How would that score correlate out? And then,
so you had a 30-day late, it tanked your score, and then you got a credit card and 6 months went by. Well, your score will go up for two reasons. One, there's been 6 months of on-time payments after the 30-day late. And two, you have a new credit card that you've established for 6 months and will go into the score. So how much would your score go up? It really depends on other things. But if we were talking about a credit profile that was very thin, where those were the only two accounts, it's going to improve. I would say you'd get 50 points back.
Oh,
so you're not going to go all the way back up right away. And that 30-day late, I mean, maybe in 5 years, you'll fully recover from that from a scoring perspective. But once you have a 30-day late on your account, and this is something I talked about before in the 6 steps to a better credit score, once you have that 30-day late, that account will never, you'll never get the same amount of points in the future because it will always be marked in the background as 30, current was 30, or current was 60. So once it's marked that way, you never get the full points that you could have gotten before if it was just current.
Oh,
people
so
don't realize
if it goes past 30 days, like to 60 days or 120 days, that's even worse.
Well, yeah, and those are even worse. So even though you brought it current and it's not currently late, you're still never going to get the points that you would have gotten had it always been current.
Yeah. I see.
And that's something that we talked about before where the goodwill removal of that 30-day late becomes important if you can get it done. So what you have to do is, you know, ask them to remove the 30-day late, much like I tried to do with my 30-day late. They might say yes, they might say no. If they do say yes, then it comes off. If they say no, it didn't cost you anything to ask. So I always tell people to ask. So we are going to have an Ask the Credit Guy show this today. And if you want to call in, 231-722-8338. But yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I pulled some questions off the YouTube channel. And I gave them to Lady J, and she is going to read a few of them and see how that goes. So,
okay, well, you had talked about a thin credit report, and someone actually had a question about that. The question was, well, here's the situation. I registered for Credit Karma just to check it out, and it says that my credit file is too thin. I have 2 installment loans and 3 credit cards along with other paid off vehicles. Why does it say my credit file is too thin or not enough credit? I had no issues trying out Credit Sesame.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good question, because Credit Sesame actually is a Experian product, I believe, and Credit Karma is a TransUnion and Equifax product. So Credit Karma may be telling you your report's too thin, because the things that are reporting on your Credit Sesame report or your Experian report are being listed there, but maybe those creditors are not sharing that information with all 3 bureaus. So one of the things that happened when I came out to the credit union, First General Credit Union, the number one credit union in Muskegon, my favorite First General Credit Union, one of the things that I found was they were not reporting to all 3 bureaus. And that's very common with credit unions and small banks. They don't report to all 3 bureaus because there's additional, you know, technical expertise you need, and it costs money. So that's the first thing I wanted to get changed. And Brian, one of our great people over there, took the first thing he did when he got there. I said, we need to report to all 3 bureaus. And he took that and ran all the way up the flagpole with it and absolutely nailed it. So we're reporting to all 3 bureaus now. What you have to be careful of is the differences between the 3 repositories. That's why I tell you to go out to annualcreditreport.com and pull all 3 of your credit profiles so you can compare them. You know, you can also come, if you're in Muskegon in the 5-county area, you can come to the credit union and we will pull your credit profile and go over it with you at no charge. But I think you should still go to annualcreditreport.com and pull all 3 bureaus. I think it's very important to do that. So we're going to have a break. And when we come back, we are going to have more talk about the questions that came in through YouTube. We're going to have any Periscope questions that come through live. We're going to try to answer them now, if you could ask them during the break. Or you can call in at 231-722-8338. All right, we're back. We're just talking about the awesome singer here in Muskegon. What was her name, Lady J?
Desi Shawneese.
Yeah, love her song here. Definitely check her out and check out her album, Fate.
Yep, from Anticipation to Excellence.
Yeah, she's going to be good. She's going to be big. Going to my alma mater, Western Michigan, very happy.
Go Broncos.
That she's doing that. Yeah. Lady J and I are both former Western Michigan students, so I think we were just about the same time we were there, right? Yeah, I went to the old business campus, which tells you that was built in the 1800s is when I was there. So,
they had buildings that old?
They did. They tore them down since I was there. But
I was a Valley girl.
Yeah, we all know that. Ernest Burnham is where I was at. So
turned that into a valley, actually.
They did?
Mm-hmm. That was one of the valleys.
Really?
Yep, it was like right down from mine.
From your...
From my valley. They were on the same hill, but it was the lower one.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's me. The lower valley. So good. We were going through the questions from YouTube. We had one about, you know, the differences between the repositories. If you want to call in live, 231-722-8338. On Periscope as well, if you do the global search, you can find, just zoom into Michigan, and then Muskegon is the the left hand of the hand on the mitten, so you can find us there. And Lady J was going to read another question.
Okay. Hello, Dave. I have a $1,200 Sprint bill in collections on my credit report after I clearly canceled my contract and mm-hmm. Sent them back my phone, but
right.
They claimed it was still on and working. Now, how do I get this off?
Yeah, and I apologize that, you know, those were not unedited comments, Lady J. I'll try to edit them next
That's
time.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, cell phone bills are so expensive now. You know, we pay, I think my wife and I, we have 3 phones on our plan. It's a family plan through Sprint. And I think we're paying like $240 a month.
Actually, that's not bad for a family plan.
Well, my wife's Italian, so she really got on them when we were there. But, you know, I mean, I feel like I could buy a car. I could have a car for that much, right?
Well, probably for the payment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cell phone bills, you really have to be cautious, right? Because they get you into that contract, and then you're locked in for 2 years, and they've had all the attorneys write out these contracts in a way that we really have no recourse. So hopefully, when you want to cancel a service agreement, what you need to do is read your agreement that you signed and figure out when you can cancel. Because even though you send the phones back, that doesn't mean that you're out of the agreement. You need to make sure that you cancel the agreement, go into the store where you got it and say, look, I want to cancel this agreement. When can I do it? And they might tell you that you're going to be stuck for another 6 months or a year. Or they might tell you, well, look, we've got this other plan that you can go on that might be better for you. So what I would tell you to do is you have to address this collection now. If it's been sold to collection, is that what he said, Lady J? Was it sold to collection?
Well, not exactly sold.
Okay, but he has the collection.
He's saying that it's on his report, and okay, they never took it off, and he canceled his contract, and yeah, then he sent back the phone as well. So,
right. So when did you actually cancel the contract? You've got to figure that out. So now that it's a collection on your credit report, the best thing to do is handle it like any other collection. Call them up, say, look, I was not properly notified of this. I believe that I canceled the contract. I don't even think that this should be on here, but I'd like to take care of it. So what you're doing there is you're not admitting it's your debt. That's very important. Just say, and that's important anytime you call a collector. Never admit that it's your debt. Just say, look, I don't even know what this is. I don't think it was properly notified. I think what you need to do, or what I'm willing to do, is pay a reduced amount to settle it in full. So what will you take to settle this account in full? Sometimes they'll say, well, we need the full balance. Usually they'll say, well, we can do it for 30% off. I think you should start at 10% and work your way up. You're going to probably wind up at 50 to 60% of the debt. So if it's $200 or $1,200, you're going to wind up at, you know, $600 or $700. They'll probably take that in full. The other thing you need to be careful of is that if you negotiate at the end of the month, these people are all on commission. So if you're negotiating with them towards the end of the month and they are just a little bit short of getting their number, they're going to be much more aggressive or willing to take less in order to get help them get their commission number that they're trying to get. Now, the other opportunity for you there is the pay for delete. A lot of people don't understand that you can negotiate with them, and in some cases, it's getting harder to do now, but in some cases, you can actually negotiate with them to remove it completely from the credit report. So you can say, look, I don't know what this is. I wasn't properly notified. I will pay it in full if you remove it from my credit report. And before you pay, this is very important, do not pay until you get a letter from them that says that it was reported in error with the account number on company letterhead signed by a human signature. Until you get that letter, do not pay. Now, a lot of people say, well, they won't give me the letter till I pay. As soon as you pay, that's it. You can't call them. You know, imagine, you know, they vanish.
Oh, yeah. They disappear. Just,
they're not available. You call the number. They're not. No one's available. You know what I mean? So don't pay.
That's
so
a little shady, Dave.
Well, I'm not the, it's not my, you know, collection company. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you how you need to deal with them. So how many, here's a question that came in Periscope. How many credit collections, how long will credit collection stay on your credit report? In that 7 years from the date of first delinquency. The first delinquency is when the clock starts. I don't care how many times they sell it to other creditors. Every time they sell it, it's fine. The date of first delinquency stays fixed. Okay? So as long as that date of first delinquency is less than 7 years, they can report it, no matter how many times it's sold. Now, once it goes beyond 7 years, you're required to remove it. That means all the daisy chain of people, they're all required to remove that debt. Go to the collection company first. If they don't respond, then go to the repository directly and say, the date of first delinquency was here, all this debt, all these accounts have been involved with that date of delinquency. They should all be removed. And the, you know, the repositories are under the screws right now. There's this new federal agency called the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And they're actually making it harder for people to get a mortgage for some reasons. But I really like, and I'm not pro large government, okay? But I will tell you that the Financial Protection Bureau has done a great job in the credit industry specifically, because they are putting the screws on the collection companies that aren't reporting correctly. And they're also helping with the repositories. They are making them respond faster. They're finding them. And they have done some incredible things from an accuracy of reporting standpoint with the repositories. So when you're talking to those collection companies, and I'm sorry this is getting long, but when you're talking to the collection companies, you say, look, I wasn't properly notified. Okay. I don't know what this is. Can you validate this debt? If you can show me the original signed contract, then we'll talk. But if you can't and you won't remove it, or you won't remove it if I pay it, then I'm going to contact the CFPB. And they all know what that is.
They're like the police of
They really are. In fact, their original logo was a badge with the CFPB on it. And they're the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The problem with large government agencies is they're not run very efficiently. In fact, they're the highest paid government agency. In fact, they're not even a government agency because they're an arm of the Federal Reserve. So they're not accountable to Congress. There's a lot of problems when it was created. And it was created out of the Dodd-Frank Act, or Frank-Dodd Act, that really hammered, that was an overreaction to the financial crisis that we went through. And we can get into that later. But
well, how about you take one more question before you have to wrap up the show?
Wow, that was it?
Well, yeah.
Boy, it went by quick.
Yeah, well, we answered a lot of questions. Well, you answered a lot of questions.
Rambling on.
No.
Okay.
Very valid point.
Yeah, so, yeah, let's go with another question.
Okay, Dave, what about for my spouse and I together? Should we get joint credit card / loans or individual? Which would build credit faster?
Okay, good question. So this is something you don't want to do until you are married. I had somebody ask a question the other day. You know, I co-signed for my girlfriend on a car.
Yikes.
Yeah, and now she's not paying and we broke up. Right?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. You will be paying for your ex-girlfriend's car now, or your score will go down. That's the choice. Whenever, anytime you co-sign for anything, you're not co-signing, you're signing. It's mm-hmm. yours. So don't co-sign for anything is what I tell people. But if you are married, I mean, that might be a little more of a commitment you need to co-sign. But if you have good credit, so here's what you do. Let's say two people get married and they both have one or two credit cards and they've never been late on them, but they don't have a good credit profile or a deep credit profile. The first thing you should do is add your spouse to the good credit cards that you have. If you have good and bad, just add them to the good, because you gain all that history from their history credit. On their credit account. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, you're not opening new, you're gaining the history quickly. That's the quickest way to improve your credit score after you're married. Add your spouse to your good credit accounts and add her to your good credit accounts, or him, her, him, whatever it is. Right? Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I wonder if there's a correlation with that. Do women have good credit, or is it more men that have good credit?
Lady J, that's a good question. There was a government study done in, I think it was like 98. And it turns out women have better credit scores than men on average.
Woohoo!
It does not surprise me.
I don't know if it feels like that now, but.
Yeah. Well, it does not surprise me. And as you know, I mean, women are not paid the same as men, unfortunately.
That is very true.
Yeah, and I'm anti that. I think women should be paid the same.
Me too.
Yeah.
I would love that.
But their credit score is better. So if they're making less money, why is their credit score better than men?
I think it's because they know how to budget.
That's right. More responsible.
Yes.
Yeah. They're a superior being, really. To men.
We do it all.
You are, and you're award-winning producer. I could do the show without you.
Thank you.
Future Emmy Award winning producer. So, yeah. And then if you want to add a joint account with your married spouse, what I would tell you to do is go for an installment loan. It can be a car. It can be a personal loan. It can be a boat loan. Hopefully it's getting nice out. Maybe a motorcycle loan. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
And if you want to have, you know, great rates on your loan, First General Credit Union clearly is the choice here in Muskegon. Five county areas what we service. So I do have a program that I've created that I'm very proud of. It's called the Credit Launcher. And it's a combination of two accounts that can really take your credit. You know, a lot of people focus on the negative stuff on their credit report. Well, what they need to remember is they need positive stuff on their credit report too. And the Credit Launcher will do that for you. It's an installment and a revolving account and some other secret ingredients from the credit guy that I put together, and I'm very proud of it. And we're seeing very good returns on the early people who have signed up. So I'll have a full report back for the show in about 6 months. So we've got about three more months.
Okay.
Once we take that first sample size, I will report back with some success stories. But it's only available for people in the five county area: Muskegon, Grand Rapids area, northern Grand Rapids, and north Muskegon area. So you've got to be in that area. And nobody else has this in the country.
So take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. 1stgeneral.com is the website. If you want to find out more about it, go there. Go to Credit Launcher. We just redid the website.
Yeah. Really? Is it a new interface, all that?
Well, it's better. Okay, so the provider that we have is not great, but I think I've maximized what we have. Expect new things later on, but I'm very happy with the improvements we were able to make. And definitely check that out, and then look for Credit Launcher. Great program that we have over there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So this is Dave Sullivan, VP of marketing over at First General Credit Union. And I'm definitely liking Muskegon a lot more now.
Yay.
Yeah, I came here in January, and it's been cold here. Yeah. I'm surprised. I was hoping for a little more warmer weather like Florida, but it's not like that here.
Well, it'll get there eventually.
It was pretty nice today. So, all right, everybody. Hopefully we'll tune in next week and talk to you. But otherwise, have a great week.